You. We're so glad that you're here this morning. If we could just take a moment and invite the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit. We thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to get together today to worship you, study the word of God. Lord, touch our hearts and minds and souls, Lord, today. Encourage somebody today. Bless, Lord, your spirit to bless each one as we open the word of God, open our hearts. We give you all praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. So good to be in the house of God today. The sun is gloriously shining. It may not feel as warm as we think it looks, but it is so wonderful. Just so thankful. And just was telling Sister Glover, had a nice trip, couple trips this past week to Homer. Just beautiful sunshine. Literally wore my sunglasses the whole day because it was so sunny. It was so bright. I know, it snowed. I'm like, what? Come back. Unfortunately, there was more snow in Homer because they had a big storm. I was going to go one day, and one of the nurses goes, I live in Anilchik. It was a blizzard at 5:30 this morning. I was like, okay, I can take that warning. So, and the ruts in the road, that's another thing. Just with the snow, you can't see the ruts. So when the snow is gone, you can see them. And some of them are like sinkholes. A little scary, right? So anyway, it's so glorious to just see God's beauty this time of year. And as I was driving this morning, I thought, if I didn't know what month it was, it could be fall. Right? Doesn't it look like those colors? So, same color. Yeah. Praise God. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that we have a God that does calm the storms. Does calm the storms literally. And we have storms in our lives when we have things that come up that hurt us, that torment us, that just distract us is what they do. They're such a huge distraction in the spiritual world. And I'm so thankful. Today, our key verse in the scripture is Matthew chapter 8, verse 27. And we are going through our daily devotional guide for spring. And right now, we're in the section worshiping our sovereign God and worshiping him, bowing down to him, loving him. Thank God. Matthew 8, 27 says, "But the men marveled, saying, 'What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" Wow. Hey, these were men that had been with Jesus. They had seen the things that he was doing, the miraculous, the healings, people that their lives were changed forever. He saw that, but they had not seen anything like this before, where he spoke to nature and nature obeyed. It was a pretty big deal. I mean, eye-opening, gawking, wonder, marvel, amazing. You know, he quieted and stilled the storm so that the disciples didn't die in that sea, because they literally thought they were going to die. And some of them were fishermen. And what I know of fishermen is this. Okay, you guys ever watch The Deadliest Catch? Okay, my husband loves that show. Anyway, they're men of grit. They're tough. They're not going to cower down to a little in the inlet. My husband finally said this year, he goes, "Okay, I think we can take the boat out of Homer and go to the left." And I don't know what size boat we have, but it is big enough because I've seen boats go out of there. And I said, "Our boat is bigger than that, and they're going out." We can go out. And I know that there are still days, you know, when the water's really still. And when we were there Wednesday, it was just still. There wasn't a wind. It was just still. It was lovely compared to the times you go and the water is taking part of that spit road and just sucking it into the water, you know. So it's amazing. This lesson today, these men thought that they were going to die and that this was the end. And I think sometimes when you think that it is the end, it's just there's a reservation and it's just almost like a giving up. It's, I'm going to die. That's it. What else can I do? This is the end. But today we're going to see how our Lord can calm the storm, he calms not just this literal storm, but thank God in our lives he can calm the disorder, the chaos, the distractions that come with spiritual storms. And I don't know what kind of storm you have faced in your lives. We've all had storms. Even this past week, another spiritual storm, and I described it to my husband as this. You know, in National Geographic or Nat Geo, they show pictures of those fish swimming in a big ball, like a circle. They're just a frenzy. I said, that's what I imagine the spiritual storm that has happened in the last week in the spiritual world. I said, the spiritual world is just whirling. But you know what? In all of that, we can have peace. We cannot be afraid. And you know what? That's what he told us to do, not to be afraid and to have peace, to be still. Thank God we have that. I don't know what the people in the world that don't have that do. Well, I do know what they do. They turn to other vices, which gets them into more trouble and their families are destroyed. But I know you can remember a time when God did make your storm still. He quieted everything, and it should not have happened. And we could only then give God the glory, and we say, God did this. It was God that did this. Thank God. He still is the one who can calm the storms in our lives today. I'm going to use the icebreaker, but I changed it because I thought of a better one. The icebreaker today is, if you could have one masterpiece painting hanging in your home, what would it be? We have artists in here, so I'm thinking we're going to have some good answers. What painting would you have hanging in your home? Oh, Sidney Lawrence,
On a Stormy Sea.
Wow. You would have one of his. Okay. No hints, Sidney Lawrence. I'm going to put Rebecca on the spot because she's our resident artist. Choose one. Oh, Norman Rockwell. Yeah. That would be amazing. There are so many. How do you pick? I had to go Google and go, which one? What? Anyone else? If you could have one, which one would you have? Oh, Thomas Kincaid, the painter of light. Yeah, that's, yes. We got to visit a studio in Monterey, California, and that was very nice. That was very nice. 30 years ago. My icebreaker, I thought perhaps would be more relevant for today's lesson. And when I asked this, all of you that have boats, fish, go on the water would be like, yes. Have you ever battled a storm, whether it's on the inlet, the river, out of Homer, where you thought, oh, this is it? Yes, Rebecca. You were. Oh, no, thank you. Did you? Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah, so it was like really high waves, high seas. Yeah. So you've been in rough water, and you know what that feels like. You try to do everything that you can. I mean, humanly possible to get yourself to safety, and that's the objective, right? None of us are want to hang out in it. Right? We're not going to put an anchor down and the anchor holds. No, anyone else?
I've never been in any of that, but I do know that I can be very, very anxious in the boat, in the water, in the
Oh, vying for the spot in the turnaround when you're dip netting. Actually, I run the boat, and I actually, that's really like a.
It's like this close to us, and I remember one year we, some guy got his net caught on something, and it broke his arm.
Oh.
Because it grabbed, it was one of the buoys.
Yeah.
His net hooked on a buoy, and it just broke. It was that particular dip netting time was.
Oh.
And
it was rough.
A physical storm, but
yeah.
In that, all of that.
Oh, yeah.
It was a mess. And at the boat launch alone, I've seen young children where, you know, there's one boat and you partner up with another boat right beside. And oh my goodness, the waves come and the kids have their arms over the edge of the boat. They literally, Lonnie's like, oh no, I think that child just had his arm broken. You know, because they have their arm over the edge. It is scary. All the boating stuff, I mean, you just have to be so safe. And then weather, right? Then the weather comes. I wanted to go to back to our the masterpiece, and when I looked this up, I was like, you'll see it today in the study guide. It's a depiction of, here, I'll show that one picture right there, that picture there. It's a famous rendition artist, Rembrandt, he painted hundreds of landscapes on canvas. However, he only painted one seascape, and that was the one called Christ in the Storm on the Sea of Galilee. That was painted in 1633. He wasn't even in Galilee. He was in Amsterdam. What a great, thank God for artists, right? Great imagination. But the painting, and I did not study art, but the painting depicts, of course, why wouldn't they be panic-stricken, the disciples on this fishing boat and trying to regain control in this fierce storm with huge waves crashing over the bow, and the sail is ripped on the boat in the picture, and also it shows some rocks coming very close to rocks. But I didn't know this, and maybe you did, that Rembrandt often would paint himself into his own pictures. So in this picture, if you count the people on the boat, there's 14. And it said that Jesus was in the boat with his disciples. That would be 12 plus Jesus is 13. So there was 14 in the boat. And so you look and people try to imagine which one was which. The ones throwing up over was not a fisherman, so it's probably so-and-so. But anyway, I didn't know that. The Rembrandt's masterpiece, it hung in Boston's Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum until March of 1990, when two people came in posing as police officers, and they stole that painting plus about a dozen other works of art. And then I looked up and I thought, how much would that painting have been? What's that painting worth? Oh, my word. It's not in my bank account, but $100 million for a painting, Sister Rebecca. So maybe his mama said all those years, you got to get a real job because, you know, you've got to make a living. You know what? I don't know. But that painting was never retrieved, right? I like that the Lord will take care of us no matter what life and its storms throw against us. And life will throw storms against you. Not just throw them, chuck them, slam them. You know what? Life will. Matthew 8, 23 through 25 says, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the wave, but he was asleep. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Jesus slept during the storm. Jesus slept during the storm. What does that show us today? Woo! He slept during the storm. He was in the same boat as the disciples were, and yet he slept. And that storm was fierce. It said it could be compared to like a hurricane that we would have in our United States. You know, it comes quickly, out of nowhere, unexpectedly. And hey, in our life, isn't that how our storms come? Quickly, unexpectedly, out of nowhere. It's like, bam, and you're in the middle of the storm. And, you know, thank God for our reserves of all the times we've studied his word. We know what his word says and how he is with us. The times we've got down on our knees or sat in a chair and we've prayed, and those reserves are with us. His spirit is with us. Thank God. Perhaps he was showing that we don't need to fear the storm. Because isn't that one of the first things when we have an attack, attack, whether it's financially, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, our family, our church, whatever is it, we're being attacked. It's, you know what? That first automatic reaction is like this anxious fear. Oh my goodness. But he didn't want us to be afraid. He wanted us to know that we can trust him. He is with us and he is for us. He was in the boat. And they did not need to fear the storm. Why? Because he was there. He is with us today. I can imagine when the disciples went to find Jesus in the middle of the storm, and I thought, you know what? They're probably irritated. You know what? They're bailing water, trying to save their lives. The adrenaline's pumping. They're like, we're going to die. And here's Jesus sleeping. So, you know, in today's daily devotional, I don't know which ones you have. I have one on my phone. I have a couple, but I love one. The daily devotion this morning was 1 John 4:4 says this, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I was like, thank you. What a beautiful. I think every time I see a devotional, I think they're all good. They're just all good. Only in Matthew's narrative of the story do we read that the disciples yell, "Save us," to Jesus. Whatever they expected Jesus to do, I don't know what it was, maybe to bail out water, help pull the sail down, or I don't know what it was. But he surprised them in such a way that they have never seen nature bend to the voice of one person like this. When he spoke to the winds, the waves, the Bible says they marveled. They were astonished. They were amazed. This was their, okay, this was their reaction to the supernatural. They marveled. They were amazed. It was a sense of awe, a sense of wonder. It's so good for us to have the Word of God, to read the stories of what people felt after they seen the miraculous and God doing something supernatural that you would never see on this planet Earth except God do it. That storm caused the disciples to be struck with fear and wonder as they observed Jesus demonstrating power over even the waves, the wind, something that we can't control. We have windmills and we collect energy from wind. We tried it our side, but we don't control the wind. We don't control the storm. It says in Matthew, the storm calming that Jesus did is written in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And each one of these gospels, the story comes before something next that happens. And that is where Jesus goes and casts out demons. And to the man that had been living in the graveyard, in the Gadarenes, let me just grab that. Says, when he arrived at the other side of the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. Imagine that. They were so violent. What do you want with us, Son of God? They yelled out. They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Exactly. Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus, If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. No jokes here this morning, folks. He said to them, go. So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed man. And the whole town went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Man, whew, I don't know. You know, this is them seeing the supernatural. So some of the disciples were in awe and wonder and just amazed at what God did. And then the others, like, get out of town, get out of town. This first story, the sea was in a tempest until Jesus spoke to it, and then there was peace. I love how when we are in a storm and there is a tempest and the evil is against us, we cry out to him. He calms that tempest, that storm. And then what he does is something like icing on the cake. He gives us peace. You can go to bed and sleep knowing that he's got it. Do we know the outcome sometimes? No, we may not. But we know who he is and who we are in him. He is the God of the universe. He spoke life just by speaking it. And then when we serve such a great Heavenly Father, our King, we are sons and daughters of the King of heaven, everything, the Almighty God. So when we look at it like that, in both events, it's amazing. Both events with the demoniacs being delivered and the storm being calmed is like a parallel in respects to what God did, where he takes something that is in such turmoil and torment, the storm, the demon-possessed men, he speaks to them, speaks to the storm. Instantly, there is peace, there is calm, there is no more turmoil. And you know what? Our world is crying out in degrees that we can, in decimals that we could never even imagine, because that swirling storm of demons that come to torment and kill and destroy are tormenting them. They are sick with torment. But we know the one who calms the storm. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, he says, all power is given on earth. All power in heaven and on earth is given to me. All power. Looked up the word all, which we mostly all know what that means, but it means everything without exception. All power. All power, amen, is in Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that it's not in my own individual strength, because my strength is limited. And as we age, our strength is even more limited. Physical strength. But I tell you what, when you're fighting a spiritual battle, you're not just fighting it in your spirit. Your body is affected. Your mind is affected. Your emotional being is affected. Everything about you is affected. That's why it's so important to say, you know what? I understand that I'm in this. Cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will come, and he will come in. He may not come in like we expect him to come in, but he will come in. And he will still and quiet the storm, and he will give you peace. You know what he gives you with peace? He gives you a little song in your heart. He allows you to go through the day without thinking about it and stewing on it and rashing your brain over and over about all the things that the devil and the evil. He gives you something that this world does not give you. Thank God. Thank God. The book of Psalms, when we look at the book of Psalms, it was a hymnal, if you will, for the children of Israel. We have hymnals here. And the song I thought of today, it's not in the hymnal, but I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the storm. He can calm the storm, make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. We have to have that relationship with him. We have to know the master and know that he is the master. Because when things come, you're like, it's here. Okay, you know what? It's almost like an emergency plan. At work, you have an emergency plan to get out safely. In your home, probably if there's a fire, where are the fire escapes? How do I get out if I'm upstairs and there's only two doors and one's a deck and there's no stairs? How do we get out? When the storm comes, we need an emergency plan. And we have one, thank God. Jesus tells the, he spoke to the issue. He spoke to it. And then what, you know what? We need to speak, call to him, speak to the issue. God gives us peace. And when we reach out to our resources that we have here in our church body, you know what? We're going to be just fine. We're going to be better than fine. We're going to be above and beyond fine. Right, sis? We are. Psalm 65:7 speaks of God, speaking of our Almighty God, and says this: Our God, which stilleth the noise of the seas and the noise of the waves and the tumult of the people. What is a tumult of the people? Meaning a state of fear. He stilleth, he calms the noise. Imagine those disciples marveling at the great calm when Jesus spoke. I can imagine their jaws just dropped. Like, what? What just happened? But it's not hard for us to imagine in our flesh those men saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? They saw something that defied even nature itself, something they had never seen before, this instant calm, because they had, some of them knew the waters. They'd been out in the waters before. They're fishermen. And they're not mousy men. They're tough guys and probably take on, you know, I could take this on, I can do it, probably take on more than they wanted to even. But this peace that came after he stilled and calmed the waters, you know what? That could have only been done by God, God himself. That, and they knew this calm and wonder was only something that God could have done. There's something to be said about peace that comes to us, the calm that comes to us, the still that comes to us when Jesus comes into our storm. And he brings that peace, and thankfully we can recognize it. And hallelujah, thank God for him in our lives. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. You know, during storms, it's really natural to just almost panic. Even when we have our earthquakes, you know. I've learned just not to run out to the car, jump in it, and think I'm going to drive somewhere, because then the garage is, I'm thinking those trusses are going to come right down on us. And I'm thinking, okay, I've learned, you know, not to run around and start driving, because the swaying light by the front door, which weighs, we need to change it out. It probably weighs 60 pounds. God forbid it ever came down. You know, that could just come off and just hit you one hit in the head. My goodness. So sometimes I want to say we're humans. Sometimes it appears like Jesus is sleeping. He's not there present, that he does not appear to be doing anything about our problems, our storm. But thankfully we can call out to him like the disciples did. Lord, save us. Save us. The natural response to a storm is fear. Fear. I mean, doubt. Jesus tells him that the response to storm should be, this is what he says, trust. It's the opposite of what we want to feel. How do you trust and fear at the same time and be afraid? I tell you what, we can trust God to calm the storms. We have sometimes conflict, storms, unexpected things, like the disciples with Jesus that day, physically, spiritually. We live in a world that's surrounded with evil, with sin, and spirits that will never throw in the towel. And you know what? They're never going to. We have to be more tenacious and more on the offense as Christians. And I know I don't want to be a backseat Christian. I want to be on the offense. Knowledge is power, and knowing what the enemy is all about is part of our survival and victory in the end, because we know what he's up to. We have an offensive plan. We have an escape plan, so to say. And honestly, that is powerful for us. So if you don't recognize it right away when a storm comes, maybe your spouse will recognize it and say, okay, we've got to do this. Because sometimes you're just like smacked. It's just like smack. And you're like that stunned salmon. Like, I don't know what to do. Thank God we have some people in our lives that will help us and say, hey, we need to do this. Let's make sure during this storm, man, let's clean our house. When I say that, I don't mean sweeping. Let's spiritually clean our house. Let's get out stuff that doesn't need to be in there. Let's anoint. When's the last time you anointed your home? When's the last time you anointed yourself? Do that. Do those things. It is a bloodline for the enemy. You know what? It will keep. There are things that the enemy will not cross. You have a bloodline in the name of Jesus Christ. That enemy will not cross that line. It cannot cross the line. That gives us power with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not like we have power, but he has that power. He has overcome the world. What things can we do individually to nurture that faith and that trust? What we're doing, reading our Bible through in a year. God bless you if you read it through more than once in a year. God bless you. Our Bible studies, share time. It's been a long time, but memorizing scripture, you know what? It's almost like God speaking to you about a certain issue. You're like, okay, don't ignore it. Just start looking up scripture that goes with that certain issue. And just take that as a little, like your breakfast. Feed yourself that scripture. Eat that scripture. Literally eat it. Memorize it. Think about, put it. I don't put stuff on my fridge, but every once in a while I put something on my fridge. Just because it's there, or in the kitchen, because that's where I'm most of the time, like, cooking. So I see it there. It's like almost a little flag. It's like over here going, hello, reminds you. Because when you're going through the day, we do forget. Just reminds you again. Of course, that prayer time, I have many people I know that have war rooms that they've made after the movie War Room. And they have a spiritual war room where they've got scriptures up, where they got pictures up, they've got notes, they've got their Bible, they've got a little chair, they've got this area where it's like, just, you know what, shut out the world. Just, it's that time with you and the Almighty God, just you and him alone. Nobody else can do this for us individually. We have got to do it ourselves. And what we have or what we don't have, we give or don't give to other people. If we don't have it, we can't give it. We've got to be full of the Spirit of God. And you know what? In churches, and we talk about it, spiritually, like compassion fatigue. You can get you just give and give and give and give and give. You have to fill yourself up again to be able to give like that. And you have to have this undenying trust and faith in God and this peace in your heart. That, you know what, you can do this, not just for yourself and your family, but for others. And that's what we're here for. So I like that this is very much talking about, I mean, storms and how we can, with the help of our Lord, we can make it through and victoriously make it through. Each time we make it through a storm with Jesus, he again proves his unfailing love for us. His love is forever and ever. It's not going away. Thank God. He is greater than the storm. I'm going to say he's greater than whatever storm you've gone through in your life, any storm you're going to go through. He is greater than that storm. And I'm going to add that there is nothing impossible for God. Nothing impossible. We limit God. I don't want to limit God. He's God. I want to think of him. He can do anything. He's God. Didn't it look like an impossible situation when Abraham was told to take and offer his son on a sacrificial offering and give his life? How marvelous and wonderful when God stepped in. Imagine, you know, imagine even in Sunday school, the kids hearing that story and they're like, listening, what? It just sounds horrendous. Except when God came in, it was miraculous. And the thing is about that, with the miraculous, we can't deny God because we know it was Him. Thank you, Lord, for all those times that He's taken us through the storm. He's been with us through the storm. I don't want to say He was sleeping through the storm, but He was there through the storm. He took away whatever that turmoil was, gave us peace. He stilled our hearts. And the question of the ages throughout every generation, men and women, is three letters. Why? Why? Perhaps it's strange for us that God allows us to go through storms. The storm comes with nothing that we have done to encourage it to come. It just comes. And there's nothing that we can do to stop it from coming. But we're not the catalyst for the storm. However, God will not waste whatever we are going through in that storm, our pain, our suffering, whatever it may be, and He will use it. I think of Paul in the New Testament. He used all the things that Paul did, the horrific things that he did and thought. God used it later on for his glory in evangelism. I want to get right to this. Here's me. I always have. Remember the story of the Titanic? This is in our devotional. For 3 years, there was a sounds of hammering that echoed through Belfast, Ireland, while the Titanic was being built. But 4 days into its maiden voyage, we know the Titanic sank. And Belfast became quiet, became silent except for weeping, mourning. People struggled. They were mourning the aftermath of the sinking. One day at a church, of which 16 of the parishioners died on the Titanic, the pastor preached from Mark 4:35-41. In the sermon, the pastor reminded not only his congregation, but also Belfast, that there was only one boat in history, the history of the world, that was unsinkable. And that was the one that was occupied by the Savior and the disciples that day on the Sea of Galilee. Then looking out, you know, he looked out to his congregation. The pastor reminded the troubled church that the only hearts that will weather the storms of life are the hearts that have Jesus Christ on the inside. You know what? There's nothing, our greatest asset, really, honestly, we have so many, but the Holy Ghost, having His Spirit inside of us, because He comforts us. He is the comforter. He gives us strength when we need strength. He gives us victory, healing, and He knows what we need. That's the amazing. He rose, He rebuked the winds, and He said, peace, be still. The winds, they stopped, and there was peace. And then He said to them, then He rebuked them, but He said to them, why are ye so fearful? Imagine the God of the universe, and we ask Him, don't you even care that we die? I just can't even imagine what the Lord must have thought at that just that second. Don't you even care that we're going to die? It's like, oh my word, I care so much. I love you so much. I just can't imagine. This was another beautiful illustration of how storms come against us. And I'll close with this story. The biosphere too, I learned about years ago in a Bible study, and I thought it was very intriguing, so it was in our devotionals. It's a 3.14-acre place of research in the United States, and it was a closed ecological system located in Arizona, and it was a system to explore the interactions within a closed ecosystem. So at the time, the facility consisted of 5 biomes, and it was a tropical rainforest, fabulous, an ocean with a coral reef, a grassland savanna, a fog desert, and a mangrove wetlands. Wow. One of the largest discoveries in the biosphere was that the trees grew more rapidly than they did outside the dome. However, they also fell over before reaching maturity. So when they examined the root system and the layers of bark, the scientists discovered that there was a deficiency of what they call stress wood. And stress wood is what strengthens a tree to prevent collapse. And it can only be developed by this, y'all, by experiencing winds, by experiencing storms, by experiencing rain, by experiencing the elements of nature against it. Without this stress of storms, the trees had no strength. Wow. Which is amazing, right? And also one of the social, just on a side note, the social experiments they did was the group of people that were in there, because they were looking at maybe having this for science, for like off-earth living. And what they did was they noticed that the people, at one point, half of them hated the other half. And the ones that hated everybody on one side, they hated everybody. They just ran around loathing people and hating people. Read it. And then the other ones, they just went to work. They're just working. They're just doing their job every day. They're maintaining the what they needed to maintain. They're just doing heads down, doing their work. So that was really interesting. I thought that was very interesting, right? I guess the key today would just be to remember that he can calm our storm. When we become afraid, I'm going to say distracted also. That's a huge tactic of the enemy. It exposes how weak sometimes our faith can get. And life is not predictable. There will be storms, but God's unchanging character offers us a firm foundation when everything seems unsteady or not right or uncertain. And in closing, I'm just going to share the scripture in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Praise God. We are so blessed. And I encourage you today, if you are going through the storm, use the resources that you have. You have great strength in your spouse, in the church family, in the Word of God, the Holy Ghost, your prayer time. Make a war room. I'm thankful that storms sometimes will do this for us. It'll drive us to our knees in such a way that nothing else could ever do. That brings us closer to the Almighty God. And we have to be thankful for that. So, God bless you. Have a great Sunday as we get ready to worship and praise Him. Amen.